Good morning, everyone, and welcome to a brand new year. It's the very first day of 2023. So just what are you going to do with this brand new year? I've often been challenged by the phrase, today is the first day of the rest of your life. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? So again, think about it. What are you going to do with the brand new year? And I know we don't know what the future holds. We have learned that over and over and over in the past few years, but we know as Christians who holds tomorrow. So what do you hope to do in the brand new year? Today I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to go back to the scriptures and remind you of some things that we are as Christians. But at the end, I want to also leave a challenge with you that may just encourage you just a little bit to refocus on who you are in Christ. But first, let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the rain that we've had. Thank you for a brand new year. Lord, help us to live for you above all. Help us to live for you in the brand new year. Father, just empower us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, go with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. And let's look at a verse that's very familiar to most of us, but maybe we can see it in a brand new light. Paul writes, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This verse is just bubbling with opportunity. In Christ, new creation. The old is gone. Everything is brand new. Some awesome thoughts for a brand new year. But let's dig a little deeper. When we think of something new, we normally think of something that we've purchased, maybe a new car, a new appliance, or maybe a new pair of shoes. But in this case, Paul meant something totally different. When we buy an item, it's new to us, but there's probably hundreds or even thousands of people who have the very, very same thing. But when God makes us brand new, he creates something that has never been before. Think about it. When God recreates us in Christ, he creates something that's never been before. We know that he made the heavens and the earth out of absolutely nothing. He can do that. And the same thing happens with us when we get saved. Through Jesus, we are engaged in the divine nature. And at this point, God gives us a new life, completely unique to you and me. No one else is like us. And he creates us for a very special purpose that only we are equipped to do. Well, how does that make you feel? I know it's an awesome responsibility, but it should be exciting too. But you see, this destroys the idea of cookie cutter Christian. You know, you can have cookie cutter religion, but it's impossible to have a cookie cutter Christian life because we are unique. We are brand new. No one is like us when God recreates us in Christ. God intends each of us to be unique. And the exciting thing about that, he gives us some very special things to carry out our purpose or his purpose through us in this world. And let's take a look at them. We already know that when we get saved through the Holy Spirit, Jesus gives each of us a very unique gift through the Holy Spirit to do the work or to fulfill the purpose that he's given us to do. But there are other things. Well, first of all, we are now spiritually minded and no longer dominated by the base desires of our bodies. Our old nature has been crucified and buried. That's what's symbolized through baptism. That'll give you the picture. You see, as Christians, we now have an awareness of God. That people who have yet to come to Jesus just don't have. You and I can communicate with God like children do to their father, and that is special. Secondly, we are no longer in trouble in the eyes of a holy God. In essence, you and I are no longer condemned by our sin. Can you say, praise the Lord? But what does that mean in a practical way? Well, before we got saved, we couldn't even get close to the presence of the Almighty God. But now God gives us a personal invitation to come into His presence as His kids. If nothing else, that is amazingly wonderful. You see, things have changed dramatically when we get saved. Well, thirdly, we are now part of the worldwide body of Christ. What does that mean? Well, we're part of the church, and we can travel anywhere in the world and find people that we can instantly connect with. Well, why wouldn't we? We're all family. Lastly, I want you to hear this one. We've been set free from the absolute domination of sin. I've often heard the comment that sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. It will cost you more than you're willing to pay. But for the Christian who has been made brand new, we don't have to sin. Say that with me. We don't have to sin. That's so important. I'm going to say it again. We don't have to sin. Paul explains it this way, Romans chapter 6, verses 5 through 6. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, it's the baptism, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, again, the fulfillment of baptism. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. We are no longer slaves of sin. And when we're baptized, this symbolizes what happened to us spiritually. We're alive, we're crucified, we're buried, we rise again to walk in that newness of life. You'll hear me say that when we have a baptism. So you and I are no longer dominated or controlled or enslaved to sin. But we can choose to sin. We can make the decision to go ahead and pursue those fleshly desires that God disapproves of. But if we do, we'll suffer the consequences of our sin. God will correct those that He loves, and He's right in doing so. And He will do it as any good father would do. Lastly, our destiny has changed. We have an eternal home in heaven. I once heard a comment that our world is the only hell that Christians will see. But for others, this world is the only heaven that they'll ever experience. Getting saved and getting that new life results in a changed destiny. Now let's consider a challenge for just a moment. Let me ask you, can you spot a person who's not real? Well, most can. Well, for me, it takes me a little longer because I accept people at face value. But I'll keep watching and I'll figure them out. So listen. If you can spot somebody who's not real, do you think God can spot someone who's not real? Of course He can. God knows the thoughts and the actions of each person. He knows the minds. He knows the heart. He doesn't see the facade. He really does know what's going on deep down inside. And he knows the real Christians, and he knows those who are not. And I personally believe that these blessings that we've talked about are reserved for those that God knows that they're real. Now, I don't know if you're a Christian or not, but God knows and you know. So what about you? Are you real? Are you a real Christian? Well, I believe that one of the best measures of a real Christian is taking up your cross and following Jesus. Several times Jesus made the comment for those who follow him to pick up their cross and follow him. Well, that doesn't mean getting nailed to a tree, but it does mean something else, and we'll talk about that. Well, I personally believe that taking up your cross and following Jesus is dying to yourself and coming alive to Jesus. I believe that's what Paul meant when he said, "For I am crucified with Christ, but yet I live." That's dying to yourself and coming alive to Jesus. So let me ask you, are you real? Have you picked up your cross and followed Jesus? You see, as I said before, I don't know whether you're a Christian or not. Only God knows that, and I believe you do too. But for me, I want to make sure that I have been redeemed, I have been changed, I have that new life given to me by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus on the cross. But have I changed completely? Well, no. God has given me new life, and I am absolutely not perfect. But I do like that old phrase that I've heard or saw on a bumper sticker one time that said, "Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven." I like that. Well, you can be that forgiven person today. Yes, you can be that forgiven person today with a brand spanking new life. Jesus assured you of that when he said, "It is finished," on the cross. He even says for you, listen, to come to him, and he will in no wise push you away. This is your opportunity if you've not come before. But you have to make that choice. You've got to go to him. And when you do, he'll redeem you. He'll make you new. He'll turn you into something that has never been before. And he will give you a home in heaven with him forever. Boy, I tell you, that's a great thing to think about in the brand new year. And as Christians, we need to really think about picking up our cross this year and following Jesus. That's dying to self and coming alive to Jesus. Let's end with prayer. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for this challenge from your word. Thank you for a brand new year. Help us now to crucify ourselves and to allow Jesus to live his life through us unhindered. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.